Hello, Emery. Hello, are you there? Please, this is Vasily Krepov coming. Hello. Hi, Vasily. What are you doing? Well, listen, it has been forever since been on your show. I thinking you not like me anymore. It is not nice for you to do these things. I feel sad inside.
Well, Vasily, we had no idea what was going on. You were caught in the Russian onslaught. I had no idea where you were even.
Well, let me tell you, Emery, things are very good for me now. I have special deal for you. I have used tank from Russian military people. They live in Oshetia. It is wonderful. You may have for great price.
Vasily, what can I do with a tank?
Well, I don't know what you do with tank. Maybe you do podcast inside of tank. It's a lovely place to doing in.
Vasily, I can't do a podcast from a tank.
It does not matter. You need this for yourself. Of course, let me sell to you.
Vasily, I'm not going to buy your tank.
Of course, you need to buy a tank. Listen, what you do with tank is your business. I do not ask questions. Let me tell you, as long as U.S. Customs no ask questions when bringing it into country, we have no problem.
Vasily, I'm not going to buy your tank.
Let me tell you, we have special deal for you. I throw in a red helmet.
You're going to throw in a red helmet?
Of course, yes, because everyone look good in red. Russian look good in red. Communist China look good in red. America liking red.
Ah, oh, Vasily. There might have been a reason why you haven't been on for a while.
Well, I do not know what this is. I'm thinking you ain't hurting my feelings. Let me tell you, sister asked me, Vasily, when are you going to be on podcast again? I said, I do not know, because Mr. Butters, I can never say name. But whatever your last name is, he said he would not have me on the show, and it hurting my feelings.
Well, we could get you back on the show. It's not a problem.
Well, thank you, but listen, I still have tanking for you to buy. Let's talk after show. Let's get this going on the road. All right, everybody, a Sunny, the crooking person, hitting the theme song.
Hey, Booterites, Booterians, and Booteristas, we are back. This is episode 46, and we couldn't be happier you're with us. Comedian Tyler Gooch joins us today. Judy Scheinbaum, of course, answers his questions, and we've got a Booter thought for you, all on today's episode of the Booterverse. Booter! Today's episode of the Booterverse is brought to you by Flannel. Flannel, isn't it really just lumberjack lingerie? It's now that time in the show when our guest asks Judy Scheinbaum some questions in a segment we like to call The Last Lung with Judy. Judy, you're on the Booterverse.
Oh, hello, Emery. It's so good to be here. Thank you so much. I am sitting here with comedian Tyler Gooch. Tyler, it's a pleasure, sir. I hear you have some questions.
Yeah, two-part question. Would you rather use it or lose it, and what are you talking about when you answer this question? I'll hang up and listen off air.
I love you, but sweetheart, we're in a studio. You don't have to hang up. You can just ask Judy, well, would I rather use it or lose it?
Right.
Lose it.
That's not how I thought you were going to go.
And the thing I would lose is the fact that my daughter is not married.
Hmm.
That needs to go.
Well,
she's a disappointment, Tyler.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that. Do you have a picture of her, or what's the deal here?
Sweetheart, we don't believe in breaking cameras.
Oh, so you're like that Native American tribe. You believe the camera steals a part of your soul.
No, sweetheart. I'm saying there's a buttload of plastic surgery that needs to be done before the electronics will turn back on again. You know what I mean?
I think I do, but I hope I don't.
I understand.
All right, let's see. A few more questions here. A zombie's already dead, right? So if it doesn't eat brains, can it die again?
Great question, Tyler.
Thank you.
I think people know that I am a big aficionado of things undead, dead, and almost soon to be dead.
By the sound of your voice, that's what I guessed.
Sweetheart, I am well-preserved. I have so many chemicals in this body, I'm gonna live forever. Or at least be well-preserved in my sarcophagus. But, to answer your question, can they die again? The answer, I would think, is, you know, sort of no. you know, because it's, if they're dead already, the brains are just them, you know, to animate them, you know, so I guess they're sort of alive-ish, but sort of dormant, like a virus.
Is Jesus a zombie?
Sweetheart, I don't know, I'm Jewish.
Of course.
But I would think that, you know, he's not undead if he's alive, so, you know, but who am I to say?
That's a great point. You're answering a lot of questions I had. I'm going to go out here a much smarter man.
I love that about you. You're taking in what Judy has to give you. Feels right.
It feels something. I don't know if I would say right, but it definitely feels interesting.
I love that. A lot of men have said that about me, and I think, you know, if it feels interesting, good. You know, just do it.
One last question.
Sure.
It seems like there's a lot of... It used to be that vampires just came out at nighttime. Seems to recently, vampires are making a lot more of an appearance in the day. Comments?
Sweetheart, if you met my attorney, you'd know that's been going on for about 40 years.
You're represented by a vampire.
I'm just saying that attorneys are bloodsuckers and they're around, you know. So, yes, I think it's indicative of our culture that we would want to have a bunch of fangs in our necks. I mean, maybe people are just becoming more masochistic, I don't know. Maybe they just like the cape.
What is the most number of fangs you have ever experienced at once?
Oh, sweetheart, you know Judy is... Listen, I've had 5 husbands, I think people know.
At the same time?
Well, not according to certain laws. New York sort of frowns upon that. But I would have to say a couple sets, my friend.
A couple of sets of fangs.
It would give the Mormon Tabernacle Choir a run for their money, if you know what I mean.
I absolutely do know what you mean, and I appreciate your candor, and I feel like I've learned a lot. No further questions.
Oh, sweetheart, you are a gem. Tyler Gooch, comedian and an all-around nice guy. This has been The Last Lung with Judy. We will be right back. I love you all.
Today's episode of the Booterverse is brought to you by Sewing Machines. That's right, Sewing Machines. What I wouldn't pay to get a look at your bobbin. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Booterverse. I am sitting here with comedian Tyler Gooch. Tyler, it's great to have you on the show.
Great to be here.
I bet it is, sir. It is a pleasure. I've been wanting to have you on for a while, and this is just kismet.
I've been wanting to be on for a while.
Really? You didn't call? You didn't write?
Right. Well, fate found us.
Fate did find us.
Yeah.
Where has fate found you, sir?
Oh, I would rather not say.
I respect that.
Yeah.
On a podcast where we're interviewing, I respect your... right to not say the things that you might not want to say.
Yeah, no, that's what makes a good interview, is if the person doesn't reveal anything.
I believe that's true. Yeah. That is my interview style, to keep everything that's already out there, out there.
Mm-hmm.
And keep all those inside things inside.
Right, separation of church and state.
That's absolutely right.
I think that's applicable here.
I think that's absolutely true. Are you a political man?
No.
Well, there we go. Okay, well, good. Well, now we know the Gooch is apolitical. That's
more
good.
Information required? Just...
I'm actually doing this as a test for the NSA. I'll be sending this off. The director likes the podcast, apparently.
Glad I didn't reveal anything earlier now.
Indeed. And now I have let you in on that little secret.
Right.
Now, how long have you been doing comedy?
3.5 years, I think. Almost 4, somewhere in there.
Have you found that your appeal has exponentially grown and your talent as you have found it? You have a very unique style. You're a big fan of puns.
Mm-hmm.
I know this about you.
Right.
Some have called you punny.
Yeah, more than some.
More than some. Maybe right. All.
Many.
Most. Well, many. Yeah. Not most. Many.
Right, yeah.
Okay. I can support that. Can you support that?
I'll have to.
Right. Now, is this what you're actually going for? Is that the kind of comedy that really hits you in your funny space?
Yeah. I mean, I'll write down anything that makes me chuckle, and then some of that I have to throw out because it doesn't fit with the rest of the material. So I try to form a little bit of a persona, I guess, and a lot of that centers around puns.
Which is great. Now, you do more than just puns.
Right. There's a whole facet, including, but not limited to, ukulele playing, other stuff.
The ukulele. You're a tall man, sir.
Yes.
They'll be able to see in the picture we take.
Right.
How does that juxtaposition work for you?
Well, I used to play guitar on stage, and then I got a ukulele for my birthday, and I thought, well, this looks a lot funnier than a guitar, because it's tiny. If anyone doesn't know what a ukulele is, it's a tiny guitar, which makes it funny.
Are all small things funny?
Not all. Many.
I'm just going to leave that one there, yeah. Tyler.
Okay.
I'm just going to leave that one there. Now, you have been traveling all across the United States. Is that fair to say?
If you mean the Midwest, then yes.
As a Midwesterner, right. I think a lot of people don't know this about me. Hail from the heart of the Mid. Actually, I hail from the eastern side of the Midwest.
Mm.
Mm. But I'm going to keep you guessing
yeah.
where that's from.
See, again, don't reveal any information.
Right. Just vague enough.
Yes.
Mm. Vague is my middle name. I think when people see me, they say, you know what? I wish I had more.
Yeah. This guy seems very general.
Yeah. He's not giving me a lot to work with.
In the military, do you have to be very vague to be a general?
Given the epaulets that they wear, I would assume not.
That joke was perfect. If anybody's listening right now, just pause, take a second to just let that joke wash over you that I just spoke, and then continue playing here in a second once you feel like you've let that joke sink in.
It seemed a little general to me.
Yes.
Hmm. Hmm. You think they're good? Do you think they got it?
Yeah, we're probably good now.
All right. I mean, I'm happy to wait.
There's no need to rush comedy.
Absolutely. You like to take your time when you're on stage, don't you?
All right. Yeah.
Do you like to savor the moments? Do you get to actually savor the moments that you have?
Yeah, I mean, my face says I'm savoring, but my brain is panicking to think of the next thing to say. So.
Well, wonderful poker face, sir.
That's right.
But isn't that what we do all the time?
Yeah.
I mean, aren't we always, whether we're performing or just living, scrambling for the next thing to say?
Yeah, life is constant terror. And then you die.
Is that how you really approach things? I know you're such an affable guy.
Right. But on the inside, terrified.
Just terrified. Tyler the Terrified.
Right.
That could be your stage name.
Be a good Viking name.
Yes. I love your answers.
Yeah.
This is good. This is actually how you do comedy.
Right.
There's not a lot of running commentary to it. It's just
being succinct.
Mm. Is it really? Is that how you approach?
Yes.
I'm not that way, as you may or may not have gathered.
I gathered that. Yeah.
But that's okay. Right. Different strokes for different folks.
Yeah.
Were you a fan of Different Strokes?
Yeah. I mean, it was a little bit before my time. But, yes.
Is your time now?
Yes.
I love that this is your time.
It started about 3 months ago. And I'm peaking right now.
I believe that to be true.
Yes.
So where would you go from here?
Down.
Definitely down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you'll be playing, Chick-fil-A's next?
Oh, if I'm lucky. They're going to love my gay marriage material I've been working on.
I hear they're fans.
I'm getting political.
You are.
Starting this podcast is motivating me.
I love that. You can speak into the zeitgeist and maybe make a dent.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe help to nudge it one way or the other?
Right.
Do you ever think that maybe your comedy actually does make people think and change their mind?
I would hope it doesn't change their mind. If you have your mind changed by a pun, you probably didn't have a very strong stance to begin with. You need to evaluate your life choices.
Some have said, though, that the pun is the mightiest of thoughts.
A pin.
No, that was mightier than the sword.
Oh.
A pun.
What?
Because, you see, it takes a sort of syntactical approach to wordsmithing that not a lot of people can do.
I mean, that was a pretty good example right there. We're all very complicated words strung together in a sentence.
In a verbose cacophony of delightfulness.
Now you're just showing off.
Okay, I can't help it sometimes.
Let's pump the brakes here.
All right, let's get back to real talk.
On the thesaurus, yeah.
Okay, Do you need one? I can get you one. I have one over here.
I got a thesaurus app. Don't worry.
Okay, good. Now, do you need to be communicated to only in pun?
No. It's taken years of rehabilitation, but I'm able to communicate with the lay people.
I know that that's true about you, because someone said, and I'm not going to say who, that you have been through quite a bit trying to communicate to the masses. And you have some horrific stories about your time in these last 3 years doing comedy.
Yeah. Comedy can lead you to very exciting places and terrible places.
Talk to me about some of those terrible places.
I did a college. I won't name what college. At their student center. And I was on a show with a magician and an Elvis impersonator.
Already a great start.
Right. Good lineup. And they said, Tyler, you're going to go on after the magician. I said, great. Got some great stuff that'll follow the magician. Then they came back and they said, Tyler, the magician's not ready. You need to go on now, and the magician will be setting up his stuff 2 feet behind you while you do your set.
Oh, no.
So I did my jokes while a magician set up tricks directly behind me. I left the stage. The magician did his thing to 6 people who were just trying to do their homework. They were not interested in a show at all. The magician got done, and Elvis took the stage.
So Elvis was the headliner.
Elvis was your headliner.
So you opened this delightful evening.
Yeah, I opened for Elvis. That's on my resume. And a very late in life Elvis. This was like concert in Hawaii Elvis.
Did we have the cape and all that?
We had the cape. We had put on a lot of pounds.
Mm.
So much so that Elvis, whose wife couldn't pick the right track for him, and he would have to stop and yell at her to play track 5, which is very representative of what I imagine an Elvis concert was actually like. He came off stage, the magician went back on, and then Elvis was going up to close out the night and had taken his belt off while he was off stage and could not get his belt back on because they had free chicken tenders. So Elvis finished out the night sans belt, which makes a full body spandex leotard very distracting if there is not a belt to break it up. Cape, a guitar that he did not know how to play, and a wife who could not figure out the CD track system for the life of her.
Was her name Gladys, or do you remember what her name was?
She was, I think, trying to fly as anonymous as possible.
At that point in life, yeah. But how great is it that she was still supportive after all that?
She was still trying. She was giving it her best shot, which was not a good shot. I don't know if they were newlyweds. This was their first time doing the Elvis act together. It certainly didn't look like it was his first time.
No, I bet he fit into that leotard well.
Your first time as an Elvis impersonator has got to be a weird day. Because you have to wear the Elvis outfit to the venue. And I feel like that's something that you have to get used to. Walking around in public dressed as Elvis with people around.
Sure, you would hope that some venues would have a changing room, but I guess you can't bank on that.
Right, especially not a student center.
Right. Because, you know, the students are going to ask what's going on.
Right. And even if they had a restroom where he had put on some of the stuff, it's still a little bit of a shock to the system to be a 18 to 22-year-old person and to see a rotund Elvis emerge from your student center bathroom when you're just there for free chicken tenders.
Now, did he have the paste-on sideburns, or was that his real hair?
Those looked real. Like, it was clearly not his first time. He had committed to the sideburns. He had picked out the outfit. His hair was slicked just right. He had purchased a guitar, not yet learned how to play it, but he knew how to hold it. Sometimes would put the guitar down and then play air guitar, which I found confusing.
Sure, because you brought the guitar, right. You might as well try
Why not hold it?
Right, exactly.
If we're going to air guitar.
See, did you use your ukulele? Because this would have been a perfect opportunity to sort of do a duet.
I did not use it for that reason. I was afraid he would ask.
Mm.
I have, I, uh, I hosted a talent show in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. I don't know why.
Because you were ostensibly asked.
Right. And it lasted for nigh on 3.5 hours.
Dear Lord.
And there was a point, one of the acts was a group of special needs adults who were in a group together. And their group was going to be performing by doing using puppets to do an interpretive lip sync of Pharrell Williams' song Happy. And after a few minutes of not being able to get the track to play, the other person running it with me asked if the MC could use his guitar to play Happy so that the special needs people could lip sync the song. I refused on many grounds and ended up just playing it from my phone into a microphone I was holding, standing behind them while they danced their puppets around. And this is an hour into the show. We still have 2.5 hours of gold left after that. That was not the closing ceremony.
Go on.
Yeah. There was, I think shortly after that, Miss Tennessee came out to sing a song, because why wouldn't you follow that with Miss Tennessee?
Absolutely. I'm sure a little eye candy.
Right. There was an 11-year-old ballet troupe who they waited to put on until 11:30 at night.
Because that's when 11-year-olds are at their prime.
Yeah. It's a couple of them were asleep backstage. They had to wake them up to go out onto the stage. Just all around great show.
I'm not going to ask who planned it, but this seems like a gem that will go forever into your memoirs.
Oh yeah, it was a fundraiser where I guess I can only assume they had asked a number of people and didn't expect everyone to say yes. And everyone said, hey, we're 11-year-old ballet troops and adult special needs groups. We don't have any other gigs lined up. Yeah, we'll do it.
You would think that more people would have a demand for a special needs puppet troupe.
Yeah, you'd be shocked by how few gigs those people are booking.
I am shocked.
Yeah.
But the 11-year-old ballet troupe, that's funny too.
Yeah, there was a very wide range of people there. I feel like I've repressed a lot of it. There's probably more.
Oh, I'm sure. Oak Ridge, Tennessee.
Yeah.
Wow.
Whew. There was a bluegrass band that closed out the night that invited me to come sing This Land Is Our Land with them.
Now, whose land did they think it was, and what land were they actually talking about?
Unclear on both accounts.
Mm. Mm. I could see why.
Right, yeah.
But just saying this land is our land, it could be many different things.
I love the vagueness of it, though.
Indeed, we keep coming back to that, don't we? Mm. Nationalistic song shrouded in vagary.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Did you know the atomic bomb was invented in Chattanooga?
I did not know that.
I didn't know that either until I went to that gig.
Do they have a replica there, or maybe the original?
No. They have a lot of signs that say the Atomic City, which if you've ever been to, Oak Ridge. I think I said Chattanooga earlier, but Oak Ridge, Tennessee. Which, if you've ever been to Oak Ridge, very little atomic going on since, 1940? It's when they're...
I think if you said that to somebody from Oak Ridge, they would just go nuclear.
Oh, they absolutely would.
See, you've got me in a punny mood now, my friend. Yeah. I don't normally do the puns, but right. I'll just, if I can keep them.
Right.
Now, in more intimate settings, have there been ever any issues that you've come across that might give an individual thinking comedy's a great idea some pause?
Usually a small venue, there's not a lot of, there's just interest or disinterest. There's not the fun that you would get at an Oak Ridge fundraiser.
Right, because...
Which is the pinnacle of a comedy career. That's why I believe I've peaked. I've already done that gig. Everything else is not that.
Well, and you've been on this podcast now.
Right.
So I could see why you feel this is the pinnacle
of
your career.
Very different environments, this one and Oak Ridge.
How so? Do you find this more hostile?
Uh, more hostile, less musical. Same amount of atom splitting.
Mm.
Please don't ask me to elaborate on that.
I'm not going
to
do it. I won't do it. Now, at this time in the show, we give you the opportunity to say whatever you want into the microphone. Words of wisdom, a pun or two. Mm. You could decline, but just say whatever you'd like to those listening.
I'll take this opportunity to spread some, just a parable of wisdom that I've been passing on to people in my shows, but I feel like this is a great opportunity to get this wisdom out into the world. And hopefully this will help you in your life somewhere, wherever you are. Give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. Teach a man to give a man a fish, and you're the manager at Captain D's right now. They will give you the hat on the spot. If you can do that, you are 100% qualified.
Well, Tyler is a man who certainly aspires to be a manager at Captain D's. I thank you for being on the show.
I think we all aspire to that, and I hope I've helped you and everyone.
Well, thank you, my friend. That's been it. We will be right back right after this.
Hey there, Marsha Houlihan for Lemon Meringue Pie. That's right, Mishawaka, Wisconsin's most favorite treat is my lemon meringue. Why don't I use lime? Well, I'm not from Minnesota. Buddha.
And now, today's Booter Thought. Have you ever wondered why home brewing is so unregulated? I mean, the FCC, the SEC, and the FAT, whatever the alcohol, fire, tobacco, those people should certainly be monitoring home brewing. I mean, for heaven's sakes, they are about as heavily monitored as Wall Street was before the crash. I mean, anything could fly. Who knows what happens in the closet of a college dorm room? I certainly don't want to be drinking it, and I don't think you want to be drinking it either. Let's get more regulation where regulation is due. If I'm putting it in my mouth, I want to make sure it's hoppy and clean. Oh no, I'm not one of these people who absolutely needs an IPA, double IPA, triple IPA, or for heaven's sakes, a Pilsner. No, I'm just a regular kind of guy. But if it's coming from your basement and there's mold, I want to make sure it's not the kind that's going to kill me. I don't want to die. Do you? All because, hey, my friend, want to try a glass of my new beer? It's a raspberry stout. Oh, sure it is. That's what they're going to put on my tombstone when it finally decides to kill me. That's right. Yeast is not something to be trifled with. Women deal with it all the time, and they're none too happy about it. And I say, why bother fighting something that other people can fight? Let's have corporations fight yeast for us. Women have tried to make that happen. Why can't we? So I say, go to the big brewers, make sure that they're heavily compensated for what they call beer. Sure, it might taste like water, but at the end of the day, won't you feel safer? And that's been it for today's Booter Thought. Today's episode of the Booterverse is brought to you by Paper Shredders. Paper Shredders, giving a whole new meaning to the word stripper. Buddha. Here at the Booterverse, we'd like to send a special thanks to comedian Tyler Gooch for being on the show. We'd also like to thank you, the listeners, for tuning in. Of course, we'd like to thank Courtney and Sonny, who help on the production side, and to Quadrants, who composed our theme song. If you haven't had enough of me here, I'm also everywhere on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram under the handle The Booter. And of course, we're also on Pinterest because, you know, men should be on Pinterest. Buddha. I know interstellar travel is a bit difficult, but the Booterverse is only a click away.